The Trying Threes. We are now coming to the end of this audio. In an effort to keep you inspired as you begin your revolutionary journey, I want to tell you one more success story. This story takes us into that stressful phase reserved for parents and their toddlers. But with a few simple adjustments, it could just as easily be a story about adolescents or teens, with whom we can dance in ways that are every bit as stressful and demanding. My coaching client Steve recently told me of an encounter with his 3-year-old that well illustrates the possibilities of scream-free parenting. As you hear this story, listen for the test provided for Steve's growth in this fairly typical situation, bedtime with a 3-year-old. Then listen even closer for the revolution Steve's creating from the inside out by consciously deciding to stay both calm and connected. Having recently moved across the country in order for his wife to return to work, Steve's family had seen an enormous amount of transition as of late. Everyone in the family seemed stressed, as each had to adjust to new schedules, roles, and tasks. One Sunday evening, Steve's wife had to go to the office. It was thus his job to put their 3-year-old daughter, Sarah, to bed. With all the changes in the previous weeks, bedtimes had not been easy. When faced with the chore of cleaning up her toys, Sarah moved into her most skillful stall tactics, acting too tired, talking in a cute baby voice, and so on. With incredible resolve, Steve refused to become reactive. He also refused to leave the scene. As Sarah began to talk rudely to Steve, he calmly asked her, "What do you think will happen if you do that again?" They both agreed that the consequence would be a timeout. Steve gave Sarah the clear option of cleaning up or having a timeout. She chose to continue stalling. Steve calmly brought in her timeout chair and placed it in her room. Again, he gave her the clear choice. Sarah stalled, and Steve resolutely put her in the chair. Sarah cried out, kicking and screaming. Steve offered to sit next to her, but she refused. She became adamant against cleaning up, so Steve proceeded to tell her of the next consequences. The bright 3-year-old knew this involved putting one or more of her movies into timeout for a day, so she ran down to stand in front of the entertainment center, wanting to protect them. She assumed the stance of a hockey goalie, aiming to block any of Steve's attempts to get past her. Steve somehow managed to contain both his anger and his laughter at the situation, and calmly explained that Sarah really could protect her videos by choosing to clean up. Upon her repeated refusal, he then deftly managed to slip past her and pull out one of the movies. Hysterical by then, Sarah grabbed for the movie, then ran to the couch, screaming, obviously tired, still refusing to clean up. Again, Steve stated her choices very clearly, and then she did something different. She now said she wanted mommy. Here, Steve faced his most difficult choice of all. He could have chosen to take such a statement personally, receiving it as an indictment of him as a parent. He could have reacted another way, choosing to force Sarah into compliance. Instead, he chose the moment as a window of opportunity to grow closer to his child. This would be a real test, one that challenged him, but promised him great rewards for his efforts. Steve sat beside Sarah on the couch, embraced her, and created some emotional space for them both. Sarah cried out that mommy wasn't supposed to go to work at night. It was too dark. She wanted her mommy back home. Steve chose to hear his daughter's plea. "It's one thing for mommy to go to work during the day, but she's supposed to be home when it's dark," he empathized. The recent transitions were taking their toll on a 3-year-old's heart. Steve went with the momentum, saying, "Yeah, I miss mommy too. She needed some special time for herself tonight, and that's okay. But I miss her too." The two embraced for a moment or two, with Sarah beginning to calm herself and quiet her tears. Steve then offered to share a bedtime snack with her and talk about mommy. He asked what she missed most about her mother. Sarah explained that she liked it when her mother is home at bedtime and chooses to lay with me in her bed. Steve agreed that those are special times and reiterated that while it was okay for mommy to be gone, he missed her too. He couldn't help but think about how many nights his wife had had to say those same words on his behalf. They enjoyed their bedtime snack, with Steve setting his watch alarm to go off after a few minutes. This would remind them both that bedtime and cleaning up the living room still awaited. When the watch beeped, Sarah was the one who said it was time to go clean up. Perhaps Steve's hard work was paying off. She proceeded to put away her books and toys as Steve got her toothbrush ready, and praised Sarah for her efforts to clean up. He even helped a little. Sarah then tried to go potty. Again, Steve praised her for the effort. Once in bed, Sarah asked Steve for a story, and he spun one of his classics. As Sarah's eyes began to droop, Steve rose to leave, only to be hailed back with a special invitation. "Daddy, would you lay with me?" Steve gladly accepted the request. As if that were not rewarding enough, however, he then experienced one of those rare moments that occasionally rewards the hard work of scream-free parenting. Sarah looked into his eyes and explained, "I still miss Mommy."